Good morning, church.
Sorry, I couldn't hear.
Good morning, church.
That's more like it.
It is wonderful to be with you again as we lift up praise to the one who deserves it. Would you stand and join us on the song?
Of my enemy, I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Our weapon is a melody. To fight for me, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Side and then this side. How's that? Follow me.
I raise a little louder in the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for. Storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my.
Louis Trotter was a missionary and an artist over 100 years ago, into the 1800s. And she wrote a poem kind of about her frustrations with her own dedication to God that became the inspiration for the next song that we're going to be singing. And she was very frustrated that she couldn't focus on what she wanted to focus on, and all these good things were distracting her from keeping her eyes on Jesus. And she says in the poem, "And Satan knows well the power of concentration. If a soul is likely to get under the sway of the inspiration, this one thing I do, he will turn all his energies to bring in side interests that will shatter the gathering intensity. And they lie all around, these interests. Never has it been so easy to live in half a dozen good, harmless worlds at once." She wrote this over 100 years ago. Art, music, social science, games, motoring, the following of some profession, and so on. And between them, we run the risk of drifting about, the good hiding the best even more effectually than it could be hidden by downright frivolity with its smothered heartache and its own emptiness. And she ends her poem like this. So how do we bring things to a focus in the world of optics? Not by looking at the things to be dropped, but by looking at the one point that is to be brought out. Turn full your soul's vision to Jesus and look at him. And a strange dimness will come over all that is apart from him, and the divine attrait or attraction by which God's saints are made, even in this 20th century, will lay hold of you. For he is worthy to have all there is to be had in the heart that he has died to win. That was the inspiration for the song, this song that was written in 1922, that have for many decades turned people's eyes to what's important.
Thank you. Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Let's pray together. Lord, we do turn our eyes to you. I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that you have brought us together to worship you. And I pray, Lord, that we would be spoken to by you this day, that we would turn our eyes to you. And so we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Glad that you have joined with us. I am Pastor Matt. I'm the senior pastor here at Crosspoint. Let me encourage you to grab your bulletins and to, I'm just going to bring a couple things to your attention. First of all, next week, starting at 9:30 through August, Gary Buddha is going to be teaching through the book of James. And so what you do is if you want, you go to that study and then you come to the second hour service. So And that, just so you know where we're heading towards the fall, we're trying to gear up, and we're going to be talking more and more about this, that we would fully be engaged and having us involved in really teaching times that we have here on Sunday morning. We want you to take full advantage of that. So we're going to be talking about that more as time to come comes. Just a few announcements. I just encourage you to read through your bulletin. We have an incarcerated youth training coming up on August 7th. For those of you that don't know what that is where we go, and we are involved in basically a correctional institution for young men ages 12 to 18 years old. So it's a great opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. And so if you're interested, you could show up for that training. You can talk to Bruce Anderson or myself. And I also want to encourage you on Wednesday nights, we are going to do we're doing prayer. We have been doing prayer, but we're also going to be doing both. We're going to have the virtual, and we are going to have it here. This last week, there's only a couple of us here, but we said, you know what? It was really good to be here. So if you're free from 6:30 to 7:30, it's the most important hour of the week where we come and we pray for each other. So we're going to do that. At this time, let me invite you to stand, and we're going to worship together.
I snuck off for a second. Okay.
On the Lupos. Here's Josh. My bad. We really did. Wow. I stink. It's not good. All right. So, I apologize for that. That's terrible. Josh and Emily have been coming. They've been getting involved. They're heading up our college group, and they have gone through the prospective members class. They have declared their faith in the waters of baptism. They have met with the elders. And so we are voting them into membership. So do I have a motion to accept Josh and Emily Lupo into membership? If so, I do. So moved. Do I have a second? Is that support? All in favor, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? You're halfway there.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, brother. Woo. Now.
Creation knows the voice that's spoken to the voice. The breath that brought the dust to life and sang the stars to form. The darkness hears the voice that drove it back before. And though the night is long, drive it back once more. One word from you, things change on your authority. Your word is true, things change.
Thank you. as a shelter with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go with the Lord of all? Oh, God of Jacob, fierce and great, you lift your voice to speak. The earth, it bows, and all the mountains move into the sea. Oh, Lord, you know the hearts of men, and still you let them live. Oh, God, who makes the mountains melt, and wrestle us and move. Shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your promises of your word, that those who fear you will be encamped around, will be protected, that those who seek you will be taken care of. We don't have to do it ourselves. Thank you for how much that you say in your word that are promises to us. I pray right now as Pastor Matt comes that you will be honored, that you will be glorified, that we will look more and more to you, that we will turn our eyes to you through your words, take a hold of the promises, and love you more and more. Thank you for loving us first and loving us most. I lift this up in Jesus' name. And everyone said, you may be seated.
So on June 27th, I was riding with the police in my chaplain duties, and a call comes over the radio that a car had flipped over on 94, burst into flames, and that there was somebody trapped in the car. And so we got dispatched to go and block traffic on 94. And what happened is there's an officer, his name is Luke Pauly, and he pulled up and he ran to the fire. And here's the video of what he did. And so he's running, he's putting on his gloves. There's people all around saying, hey, there's a guy in there and he's still alive. And he goes to the car and he gets the door open. And here's the video of him pulling this man to safety. He saved his life. And it's really just a great story. And afterwards, Officer Pauly was interviewed, and he was on the news, a couple news networks, and he saved this 23-year-old man, and he said, you know, it was just perfect timing. And he said, someone was looking out for him. And I thought, isn't that true? Was someone looking out for that 23-year-old man? That answer is absolutely. And someone is looking out for you. I don't know what happened to that man. I know that he regained consciousness on the way to the hospital. He seemed to be doing well. I hope and pray that he comes to be grateful, not only for the man that saved him, but really for the God of the universe that spared his life. And if you think about it, we should be, those of us who call on his name, we should be the most grateful people of all. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, speaking of the Lord, it says, he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, and he has made of one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek him. And we as a people should seek his face every single day. I'm starting this second week in Luke 34. And if you recall, last week we looked at the backstory of Psalm 34, where it said, of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out, and he went away. And if you recall, we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 7 all the way to chapter 21 and how David was in a bad place and how he's being chased by Saul and he is so down, he's so depressed that he kind of thinks, hey, I'm going to go to my enemy and I'm going to find comfort there. And he goes there and then they realize, hey, this is the one that has been killing all of our people. And so what do they do? What does he do? He ends up acting mad. He acts like a madman. And King Achish says, you know, I got enough madmen. I don't need this guy. And miraculously, they don't kill him. You would think that they would have knocked that guy off, but they did not do that. And then from there, in 1 Samuel 22, it says, David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And a bunch of people gathered, a bunch of not only his family, but a ragtag group of people. And so today we're going to look at Psalm 34. And we're going to look at the first 10 verses. And we're going to see the amazing response that David has. And really it should be our response. If we know Christ as our Savior, if we have come to him by faith and know that he has saved us from our sins, we should have a response similar to his. This is broken into three sections in your notes. There's a lot of notes. I'm going to be flying on this, so here goes. First of all, David overflowed with praise. 34 verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted makes his boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So I want to break these three things down. First of all, David's thankfulness was not silent, but it was continuous. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always continually be in my mouth. There is a real sense in which, hey, this has happened to me, and I'm not going to be silent about this. I am going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise is going to be on my mouth all the time. If you think about it, we should. We should bless his name. Has the Lord been good to you? If you really think about it, has the Lord been good to you in a million ways? If you know him as your Savior, he has forgiven you of your sin, but he has blessed you in so many ways, and he just says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. He goes on to say, the second point, David was gladly humbled. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. David fully understood that he was delivered, not because he was so wise that he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to act like a madman and drool all over my beard and look at how smart I am. He knew he deserved to die, and when he came to understand that. And so what does he do? He humbled himself. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. David realized, you know what? It was the Lord that delivered me. I have to believe that David, I mean, I think we all struggle with pride. I really do. But I think David struggled with pride. And it would be understandable if he did. I mean, he's a young man, and he is anointed king, and what does he do? He goes and he kills Goliath. And then we saw last week in chapter 18 that when he went out to battle, every time he went out to battle, he won. He put the smack down on people to the place where when they would come back from battle, the ladies would come out dancing and singing, and they would say, Saul has struck down his thousands, David his 10,000s. So here he is. He's very successful, and you got to believe that, yeah, there's a part where it's like, you know, I'm pretty good. I mean, it would be easy for him to fall into that, but he realizes, nope, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. I mean, really, we need to be humble. We know what the scripture says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In Jeremiah 9:23, it says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him boast in this, that he understands and knows that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Just a good reminder for us. What do you have that you have not received from the Lord? And some of you have relatively less than others, but everything we have is from him. The third thing we see in this section, David wants to draw others into praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He wants everyone involved. He says, come on, let's magnify the Lord with me. I hear people say sometimes, you know, my faith is kind of private. And I just want to say to him, really? You got a private faith? The God of the universe saved you from your sin. He delivered you. And you just want to keep it over here private? I would kind of challenge that to say, listen, we're to make much of the Lord. We're to magnify the Lord and exalt his name together. When you go to a sporting event, let's just imagine for a minute that the Lions turn good. I know it's a miracle, and it's never going to happen probably, but let's just imagine for a moment. Imagine that they're at the Super Bowl, and you have been a lifelong Lions fan. And guess what? You're there by yourself. How boring would that be? I mean, the joy of going to an event like that is you are with people who agree with you. You're there, and what are you doing? I mean, you go to a game, and if they do well, you're high-fiving everybody, people you don't know. You're excited about it. You are magnifying the event, and how much more the God of the universe. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. The second section is David's testimony of deliverance. Look at verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered, never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. The first thing we see in this is that David prayed and God answered. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Over and over again, you will see David throughout the Psalms encourage people to seek the Lord. I sought the Lord. And that is something that we need to do. And I thought about this. It's like, brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to do more. We need to do more. We need to seek his face. We need to pray more. I do realize, and I'm a big prayer guy, but it's so easy to drop your guard and just like to go through life, and you just get busy. It's kind of like the story that Ed told of that missionary. You get busy with good things, but we don't seek his face. And how we need to do that. In Psalm 63:1, it says, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have looked upon you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. The God of the universe knows you. He does. He knows what you're going through. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. He knows those things that are going through your head. He knows your deepest sadness. He knows your trials that you have been through. And if you know him, he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is working. He is working in different circumstances. Even when you pray and you don't get answers. Because I'm sure there were times when David prayed for deliverance from King Saul. And eventually it came, but there was a long time when it didn't. Second thing we see in this passage is David sees with the eyes of faith. He says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Let me ask you this. When he got away from King Achish, and he's delivered. What in his life had changed? Nothing, other than he was delivered. He's still being chased by Saul. He's hanging out in a cave, and yet he will say, I sought the Lord, he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. He had gone in a previous segment of his life where he was downcast, where he is seems hopeless, where he goes to his enemy trying to find refuge, and now he's radiant. And I would say to you, what happened to him? Yes, he was delivered, but you know what happened? He turned his eyes. He turned his eyes to who the Lord was. See, every day, if you put your eyes out here on what's going on in your life, and you start to go down that rabbit hole, it will not go well for you. At least it doesn't for me. And I don't think I'm any worse than you are, maybe. But, I mean, I this was yesterday for me. I was just telling Ned this morning. It's like, I felt like there was a cloud over me. Maybe it was the raining and it was cloudy, but the reality is like, nothing was working. And I just sat there and it was like, it was not good. And as I was praying about it, it's kind of hard when you got to preach on this stuff. And it's like, you know what the real issue was? Where was my eyes? I was looking at this. And it's amazing when you stop, whatever your circumstances, and you put your eyes on Jesus, it is amazing how things change. But you don't do that, I don't care who you are, you will start to go down a hole, down a death spiral that is not good. And yet, you know what? David is seen with eyes of faith. He looks to the Lord. Those who look to the Lord are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. And then he says, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. David, indeed, when he fled, he had nothing. He considered himself this poor man. He's given testimony. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. And I would say to you, the Lord will save you out of all of your troubles. We're going to talk a little bit more about this as we go into the third point. David sees the security that the Lord provides. He says, again, the Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Now, there's been much made about, okay, who is this angel of the Lord? Is it a theophany, an appearance, a manifestation of God in the Bible? Is it a Christophany, which is a appearance, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ? And it has been said that every theophany wherein God takes on human form foreshadows the incarnation where Jesus, Emmanuel, became a man into this world. And so whether it's a theophany or Christophany, we'll find out someday. Some have said, you know what, this is like It's a Wonderful Life. This is guardian angel territory. And they would make an argument that this is the angel of the Lord. Everyone's got their angel. And so there it is. Now, don't get me wrong. Angels are real. They are, it says in Hebrews 1:14, they are. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who will inherit eternal life? So, yes, they're real, and yes, they are sent to serve those who know him. Do I think we have one guardian angel? I kind of doubt it. But God can and does use the angelic realm in ways that you can't imagine. He really does. I mean, I can't help but think that man that got pulled from that car, if he will turn to the Lord in this, that will be part of his testimony. That my car flipped. It was bursting. I mean, the flames, they were high. There's no way that guy should have lived. And yet God saved his life. Yeah, he used an officer, sure. But ultimately, God did. And so, Did he use angels? Could have. Now here's the difficulty when it comes to angels. While angels are created beings, as we are, people want to pray to them. We should never pray to them. People want to worship them. We should never worship angels. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so there is no need. We worship the God of the universe and him alone. Him alone. And yes, the Lord, he has ways of protecting us that we have no idea. I think one of the great joys of heaven is going to get there and say, so when, look back in your life, how many times have you been close to death? I mean, you think about it. I think I've told this story years back. I used to work for Xerox, and I'm driving down 94. It's the wintertime, and I feel snow hit my car, and that was down, like, you had to, like, you're down in the highway. And I said, it's like 2 a.m. People are throwing snowballs at me at 2 a.m. I look in my rearview mirror, and what had happened is a car had come off the embankment and hit and just missed me. I mean, the snow hit my car, and it's one of those things you ever, like, drive, and it's like, what was that? And you're driving, you're looking back, and I see this car going around and around on its back. Now, did I stop? No, I didn't. They didn't have cell phones back then, but everyone pulled up. I just say this to say that. That's one of those cases where it's like, did the Lord not protect me? And I would sit there and say, he did. He did. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Here's the good news. If you know him, he has your life. He has numbered your days. There's not one thing that's going to happen to you that will not filter through his sovereign hands. We really don't need to fear and worry. We need to be wise, yes, but to live in fear is not a good thing. Letter C, the last section. David's invitation to his readers. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good things." He's telling of his experience. And so he starts by giving an invitation to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it's quoted in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it they may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's a question for all of us. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Because he is. And when you taste it, there truly is nothing like it. There is nothing like tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Now, as I was thinking about this, there's a massive war that is out there that is put on by this world, put on by the prince of the power of the air, trying to get you to taste and see that this world is good. I mean, everything, every advertisement, every app, everything is geared up to say you're important and you're the center of your life and you need to make much of you. And, you know, Moses, it says this in Hebrews 11:25, chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. The world is calling out to you and saying, the world says to you in every advertisement and everything, the world is saying, come to me and I will make you satisfied. If you get this product, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, then you will have the great life and you will be happy. And does the world deliver, my friend? No, it doesn't. Young people, you got to hear me, because you're being sold a bill of goods that says, listen, you know, if you do this, then everything will be good. If you do this, then everything will be good. And if you talk to anyone who's older, it's like, yeah, I did that. But it wasn't ultimately satisfying. And I bought this, and it wasn't ultimately satisfying. And I had this experience, and it wasn't ultimately satisfying. Now, they're good gifts that God gives us, but when we make them ultimate and we try to find satisfaction in them, it doesn't work. But when the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 11:16, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's where it's all at. And so we're to taste and see that the Lord is good. I will say this. It's funny. The older you get, the more you realize, you know, you will work towards something and you'll think, this is good. Now everything's going to be great. Then you look over here. It's like, I got to go work over here and fix this up. Then you look back over here. That just broke. And then you went over here and it's like, well, that's out of date. It's all over the place. My wife informed me that some of my clothes are out of date. The 70s are coming back, people. I'm telling you, we had good clothes. That's all good. Second part in this section, he says, fear the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The world mocks this concept. I mean, when you talk about the fear of the Lord, really, and if you think about it, in Romans 3, when he's talking about the sinfulness of mankind, what does he say in Romans 3:18? There is no fear of God before their eyes. Ecclesiastes 8:11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. But they fail to realize that God is an awesome God who is that we are to have reverential fear, that we are to know that he is God, he is holy, he is perfect, he is just. And in his holiness and in his justice, there is his wrath, and his wrath will judge sin. It will happen. And so this world is sitting there saying, nah, you don't need to reverence God. We do. We need to make much of him. We need to see him as holy. We need to make sure that we're not flippant towards him. We need to take our own sin seriously. We're not sitting there sweeping it under the carpet. We need to see sin as sin. And that's just comes from what? It comes from being in the Word of God, daily soaking in his Word, taking time, understanding that his church is his bride, and we're to love and to care for each other, and that we are to be true to his Word. In Galatians 1:10, for am I now seeking the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So in reality, we hold to the Word and we hang on to it. And then the last thing he says is seek the Lord. It says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack, have no lack. The young lions may suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. It's interesting. He says, those who fear the Lord have no lack. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. We are to seek him. We are to seek the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to do that. Again, our devotion to him needs to be the first thing. And it is so easy. It is so easy to seek after the things of this world to try and fulfillment, and it won't work. It won't work. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So my question to you and I is this simply, how are we seeking him? How are you seeking the Lord daily? It is something, if you do not intentionally do it, the world is just wooing us. It's saying, you know, come follow me. But we need to seek the Lord. We need to seek his holiness. We need to seek his face. We need to rejoice in our God and in our Savior. And when we do that, it is well. And when we don't, it's not. And so I want to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for myself in this thing, because you know what? It is so easy to get sideways. So let's just go to the Lord. Father, I come to you. And in this sanctuary, there are a host of people who are in different places. Some are seeking you well, and they're endeavoring to make you the center of their lives always. And some have every intention of seeking you, but in the last day, last week, they have been distracted either by the things of the world or by their own sinful desires. Lord, you do know what's going on in our hearts. I pray that we would understand that whom have we in heaven but you, and nothing on earth we desire except for you. Lord, help us to strike this balance of being in the world but not of the world, and to make Christ supreme in our lives. So Lord, right now, I just I commit these folks into your hands. And right now, in the silence of our hearts, let's just tell the Lord, give an honest evaluation of where we are and our desire to seek him. Lord, you are so good. When we start to wander, and any of us can wander, you, in your great mercy, are always reaching out. You are blocking, you are hedging us in. You are even making us miserable in our sin that we would see you. Lord, continue to do your work. Help us to seek your face. And in that, Lord, not only do we know, it's glorious. Those who seek you lack no good thing. So help us to get out of the way and just come and bow before you. The things that have been irritating us and frustrating us and consuming us, we lay at the foot of the cross. Lord, do your work in our lives for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you stand and join us? We're going to sing this psalm that's about seeking the Lord.
Yes.
saints rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never ending praise. We are in saints rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never ending praise. We are in saints.
Taste and see. You are good. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, thank you for this reminder of who you are and what you have done for us. And Lord, I pray that this would be in the front of our hearts, that we would seek you, that we'd be in your presence. Lord, give us good and godly day today and this week. May we live for your glory. And so we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this, for what you're going to do in our hearts. Make us different, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.